Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle reading, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in the 14th chapter. In the second part of verse 12, Paul writes, "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." This is God's word. If you knew for a fact that you were going to receive a Valentine's present, where would you want it to come from? A jewelry store? Target? The hardware store? I suppose it all depends on what kind of gift you're hoping for. In his first letter to the Christians at Corinth, the Apostle Paul urges them to seek spiritual gifts that are more hardware store than jewelry store. In other words, Christians are to seek spiritual gifts that will help us to serve, not show off. Now, the church at Corinth was a congregation with problems. The members there were not unified. Some had even taken their squabbles to court where they sued each other. And in spite of such shortcomings, there was at least one commendable thing about this congregation. It was a congregation that eagerly desired spiritual gifts. And as an aside, we should ask, can the same be said of us? Do we eagerly desire and pray for spiritual gifts, or do we spend more time asking God for other things? Maybe a reason we don't pray more often for spiritual gifts is because we don't know what to ask for. The Corinthian Christians did not have this problem. They knew what they wanted. They wanted the spiritual gift of being able to speak in tongues. Now, this gift was given for the first time to the disciples at Pentecost. That day, the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in foreign languages they had never studied before. And the purpose of that was to communicate the news about Jesus. Now, that's pretty dramatic. But it had a hardware store purpose, which is to serve others with the gospel in a way they could understand and build them up in the faith. The apostle seemed to sense that there were some in the Corinthian church who desired the gift of speaking in tongues, not so much for hardware store reasons, but for jewelry store reasons. It wasn't so much to serve as it was to strut their stuff. That's why Paul was careful not to downgrade the gift of tongues, but to emphasize that spiritual gifts are not for glorifying the self, but to be used to reach into the lives of others. They're for building up other people. They're not for self-conscious strutting, but for serving that forgets the self because it's more concerned with making the other person's life better. Again, Paul wrote, "Since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, strive to excel in building up the church." It was a good thing that the Corinthians wanted spiritual gifts. And so, if they wanted the gift of speaking in tongues, they were also to ask for the gift of interpreting what they said. Paul wrote, "If you're praising God with your spirit, how can anyone who does not understand say amen to your thanksgiving since they don't know what you're saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up." And that's always the bottom line, according to Paul. God gives believers spiritual gifts that are only good if they're being used to benefit other people. Now, I realize this is a really specific message today, but let me suggest that it touches two very deep things in us, in maybe a little broader sense. The first thing is, Paul does not want the Corinthian Christians to fall back into self-justifying behavior. You know what that is? It's when you develop a spiritual identity based on you doing good things. You fill up a stat sheet with good behavior and make that the trust of your heart. Paul knew it was all too easy to take a spiritual gift and just add it to our personal resume and then look at that and say, wow, now look how good I am. And it's a tiny step from that to feeling superior to others who don't have my gift. In a pretty nice way, Paul is saying, don't do that. One of the ways you know if you're stopping self-justifying and trusting in Jesus justifying you is how you use your spiritual gifts. It's no longer to pad your stats or inflate your resume. It's just to build good things into somebody else's life. Because you're thankful for what He has done to justify you. That's the first thing. The second thing is tremendously positive. When Paul directs us to use our spiritual gifts to benefit others, he's pointing us to one of the keys to spiritual, mental, emotional, even physical health. And here it is. We are at our best when we're helping others. The Bible made this claim about 2,000 years ago. But ask any modern psychologist or doctor or counselor, and they'll tell you, yeah, that's true. When I stop obsessing over my problems, when God moves me to look up from myself to see others, when the Spirit convinces me to look away from my worries to instead be a blessing to someone else, that has a profoundly positive effect on my own heart and mind. As one person put it, it wasn't until I got out of my own head that I started to feel better. And that's what she had discovered, that we are at our best when we're helping someone else. That's what Paul is saying. Use your gifts to build someone else up. And you'll be moving in a healthy direction. So Paul summarizes his thoughts like this. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. When children learn a new skill, they like to show it off to anyone who will watch. And that kid will ride that bike until it's too dark to do it. And they want you to watch every turn on the driveway. But as we mature, we realize the things that we're good at doing are not meant for show, but for service. No one understood this better than Jesus. When he performed miracles, there was no strutting involved. Even though each sign showed he was the Son of God, his actions always benefited others. For example, Jesus fed the 5,000 people. because there were hungry people who needed feeding. And he did it in a very subtle way. In fact, he shared the glory of this event with his disciples. After all, they were the ones who distributed the bread and the fish. And even the greatest thing Jesus had to offer, his sinless, perfect life, he used for the benefit of others when he offered himself on the cross to pay for our sin. So, it's time to take an honest look at the gifts God has given you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And he goes on to mention things like wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues and the interpretation of tongues, helping, administering or organizing, and as we dealt with last week, giving agape love. And what's so great about what Paul does here in 1 Corinthians is he says there are all these gifts, and some of them are amazing, quite frankly. But if you have love in you, if you have love in you for someone else, you can do this. So let's do it. Let's use our gifts to build up the church. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, help us walk your servant way wherever love may lead. And bending low, forgetting self, each serve the other's need. In your name we pray. Amen.